Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are back. It is yours truly, the Absolute Truth Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, one of the most, the king of kings himself. God damn, I'm the best in the world. Broadcasting live in the bathroom, I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only. He still owes me $1,200 in money, but hopefully he pays me someday. He is.
It's Sean Black in the building once again. Are you finished stroking yourself on worldwide internet radio?
Listen, I need to let our two listeners out there know who I am. There have been a couple of weeks, okay?
Oh, okay. As long as you get that out the way, then everything is fine.
Of course. And another person who adored me like Sean Black does, I have the one and only, the lovely, talented Lady T in the house.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
Hey, Lady T, it sounds like it's going to be another one of those shows, huh?
You know, before we get started and talk about how great I am, I want to say the stats out first. We will bring it up in a conversation later. You can use this towards your argument if you're for it or against it, but so far, in about 5 weeks, with a massive lockdown, we had over 50,000 people dead with the coronavirus. Average, in a six-month period with the flu, we get 20,000 to 30,000 with no lockdown. You do the math. On that note, if you call in for your thoughts or comments, it is 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. Okay, let's get right to it. ADT, last week, well, as always, Sean and I call each other to talk about, you know, potential topics. Of course, we'll be about the coronavirus. And anytime when Sean hang up, he always tell me, I'll do the description for the show on Sunday or Monday, ignoring Donald Trump would say or do something stupid. No lie, within an hour, Donald Trump said, hold my beer, let me prove Sean right. And Donald Trump saying something 4 days ago, outrageous to a certain degree. Now, as a disclaimer, ladies and gentlemen, you do not drink bleach or Clorox or inject yourself with any of those chemicals into your body, for the record. But, Sean Black, what did Donald Trump said that sparked a whole worldwide chaos?
I think our esteemed, exactly, I think our esteemed president, and I'm putting air quotes around esteemed and president at the same time, he, during one of his many self-bloviating press conferences, or press briefings, as I would say, went out and I guess one of those things where you're supposed to, you say certain things to yourself and you speak the other stuff aloud and you speak the silly stuff to yourself, and he kind of did the opposite. And as he usually does, he, instead of taking the press conference or the press briefing and stepping aside and letting the experts do the bulk of the informing, he decided to go out and ask one of the two doctors, I believe he was talking to Dr. Birx. To his side,
she was there,
about potentially what would happen if you had put ultraviolet light inside of the body, if you could do research on taking disinfectant or bleach or something along those lines and seeing what that would be like inside to kill the virus in a minute. I'm not going to go into his exact words because everybody knows ad nauseum now what kind of an idiot that this president has shown himself to be. And what makes this whole thing worse is the fact that, and this is something that I actually looked at, when he does his press conferences up until recently, because apparently he's gotten tired of the ridicule he's gotten, of the usually an hour and a half to 2 hours of his press briefing, you would think that Dr. Birx or Dr. Fauci or somebody that actually has knowledge of the field would take the bulk of the actual press conference. President Trump takes 68% of the time in every press conference since he started doing these press briefings about a month ago. And if you've noticed, he was supposed to do a press conference like he usually does over the weekend. He didn't do one. He was supposed to do one today. It wasn't in the normal space of what he would normally do. And I think a lot of that is because of the ridicule and what has gone on at the in the eyes of the media as to what he said and what he's done. I think that we all know where we stand to some degree as to where the true leadership is when it comes to this, which is sad.
Yeah, but well, he said he was being sarcastic on Friday. He was like basically joking around, which I believe he was being sarcastic, being his a-hole of himself. Is what he wrong for saying or doing so?
There is a time and a place to be sarcastic, but nobody really believes that he was being sarcastic in the tone that he said what he said at the press conference, directing it away from the actual. He was talking to the doctor and asking questions about this and saying that. Here's the deal.
I think he was like kind of having a stupid conversation with her in a sarcastic, joking manner way. He did not say it directly to the press.
If you want to defend the fact that he is trying to be sarcastic, even though I think most people saw there was not an ounce of sarcasm in his voice when he said this, you can do that. I'm not going to insult Lady T's intelligence or anybody else's intelligence or even my own to even bring that point up, even if it's in a lighthearted manner, because, as you said at the top of the show, 56,000 Americans have died because of this. And to actually go out and joke about something like this, even though, well, let's really be honest, I do not believe the president is that intelligent to actually be serious enough to do something and make that sound like it's sarcasm, because he's done this before where he tries to blame something that went bad on joking sarcasm. This is who we have to deal with.
Okay. So what's interesting with that is 56,000 people, and he's making a joke like that. He had an opportunity, if he wanted to crack a joke like that a long time ago, and they asked him, like, what did you think? What's the name of the shot that he wanted to give for arthritis? He could have made a joke or said, or maybe Lysol then. Yeah, I thought it was very, very, very distasteful, first of all, especially with the death toll rising, and they don't really have a grip on this, and they don't really have a grip on how to prevent it moving forward. So it's like no time to choke. And then what he does is what a person who always want to turn around and lie on what they did, they give it a little time, let it fade out, and then he brought out the CDC, the same people that he didn't want speaking in the beginning of this. So it's like the CDC now has to come and clean this up for him. So it's really, really, really distasteful.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at the situation itself.
Yeah, it's really distasteful. It's really distasteful. But that's what a person does when they want to flip the script. And he does that all the time. You see him do that all the time. It's some sort of distraction they throw in. So it's getting kind of tiring, and it just makes it look like, is he serious about figuring out, you know, how to move forward and prevent this from happening? Because I don't see him as being serious right now with this. If you can make a joke like that, you have teenagers that want to do all these tricks and things like that on the internet and so forth. They may try that, what you just said, just because.
He is.
So it's not a good influence at all.
Yeah, he is such a toxic narcissist where he wants to take none of the blame, none of the blame, but he wants to take all of the credit. And as I've stated before, usually when you look to your political leaders or any leader that is supposed to be to have their finger on the pulse of something, you normally would look to your leaders as being the smartest person in the room, but also the great part of the leadership is knowing when you are not the smartest one in the room, to defer to experts and to certain things. And for weeks and weeks and weeks, we have heard this president and people underneath him along the country saying and doing dangerous things that contradict the information that is being disseminated. He has contradicted his own policies as far as, well, let's take 15 days and be away from people so that we can kind of do the social distancing. Then you remember it went to 30 days to make sure that we can continue to get this so that we can get a hold of the actual spread. And then you have these protests popping up left and right. And what does this president do? Instead of galvanizing the country with some sort of stern leadership, he's actually poking the bear and actually saying, for those that want to protest, go ahead and protest. So in essence, he's telling the protesters to contradict his own policy and then leave the responsibility of cleaning all of that garbage up to the governors, who were the ones that had the power in the first place. This is the kind of person that we're dealing with.
Well, to Lady T's point prior, not a discussion with my boss, you know who he or she is, this morning. And you know what? Heck, she was very outraged by this statement from Trump. Because to Lady T's point, you have kids watching this, teenager, or just like she brought up my son. Many of your son is watching this and hearing him drinking bleach, you know, with cure the corona. And he's 6 years old. Of course, he will be asking me, Daddy, is drinking bleach good for the coronavirus? Well, you know, he don't know much about it, but he hear it on the news every day. So, to very two points, you have teenagers that will be doing stupid challenges. If they did a Tide Pod challenge, what's stopping them from making a bleach challenge? Trying to taste you, take it as a shot, see the results of that. It's like, as a leader,
and don't forget your actual corona patients that go home and things like that, and then they're feeling faint and things like that. That works on your mental too. So what if they say, oh my gosh, I need to just take a shot of this or something? You know, it's really sad while they're in a hallucinative stage, you know. So it's really sad. I don't think any of that is influential. He shouldn't have said it. I don't know why he said it, but
I think we all know why he said it, because he wants to make people think he's brighter than he is when he really isn't. And he said and done so many things that would question someone, a grown adult's intelligence, who has the power that he has to be able to say, even if we were to give him the benefit of the doubt and say that this was a joke, which I firmly do not believe, because basically he went on a Twitter storm over the weekend, banging his fist on, I'm not going to do these press conferences anymore because the media is going to just make fun of what I say and what I do, et cetera, et cetera. And seemingly, it seems to me that the only thing that he really cares about in this entire deal, I've said this before, he cares about the economy. Obviously, the economy has to get back on its feet, but not at the risk of any more lives. But it seems that the main thing that he's worried about are his numbers and how strong he looks as a leader in the eyes of the people that are following him. And every time he does something and it backfires, something new pops up. You remember when, I think it was last week, something came up and whatever was going on, and the first thing that he ended up doing to get his mind off of his disastrous press conferences, well, we're going to stop immigration from getting in and out of the country for 60 days. Like, well, where did that come from? You know? So it's always something where he has the negativity following him, and his numbers are starting to go down because they're starting to see what this person really is, and then the deflection. The deflection happens, the numbers go back down again. So he has something else to deflect it.
Well, you say this all the time when your statements, but I show you via social media how people are defending him and how this statement is blown out of proportion. So you know what? You know, it's just another Democrats or liberals fucking out of their asses. Donald Trump did not say exactly that you should just reach or stick a UV up your ass or that
but
stuff.
But wasn't this the same president that said that this whole coronavirus thing was a Democratic hoax? This was the same guy that said this literally 2 or 3 weeks before the U.S. started to get hit with these cases, that diverted everything to saying that this was all a made-up story, that this is no worse than the flu, that you can just go out in the sun, or it'll just go away by a miracle, or just that the heat will dissolve the virus. This is the same person that said that, and those same people are defending what he's saying, right?
There are no records of that. It never said, it never happened, okay?
I guess
that's
your monitor would come
up. So why are we giving us that much attention?
Exactly. But to Lady T, to Sean's point earlier about protesters, Lady debate about protesters about our major topic today, to open or not to open. But before we talk about opening businesses, I want to talk about protesters. Are the protesters really protesting for the right reason? Like, you brought up a good point to me a couple of days ago about mental breakdown. Everybody's like basically losing it to a certain degree. Well, these protesters of calling Governor Cuomo dictatorship and protests around the world, are these protests valid or do they have a point to a certain degree?
For what, as far as them opening the city?
Open up the business, yes. Open up business. Our governors are being dictators. It's like people are protesting outside. Not realizing
there's always going to be protests anyway. You can have all different forms of protests also through emails and things like that right now. I'm sure they've been doing that before. But I don't know really. I don't know how to answer that question. Because I haven't really seen what they're protesting about. So we already know a lot of people want, you know, the city to be open and so forth. It looks good right now because everybody's inside. But we're talking about moving forward and things like that. It's not realistic to me for 6 feet. It's a distance, really. Even when people come out, it's really not going to be 6 feet away. Even now, there's times in the supermarket, it's not 6 feet away. Sure, people have their covering and so forth over their mouth, but, I mean, if they say this is a surface-to-skin type virus and we have our face covered and so forth, I'm concerned also right now about these masks and things like that. The other day, I wore one of the masks, and you know, the smell of it just bothered me. So I had to take it down, and not until I got into the actual location that I was going to did I put it up, because now you're around people. So I think they also need to teach people how to use these masks. They also need to let people know which masks that they need to use, because certain masks is not going to prevent you from getting COVID. It just prevents you from getting cold and flu and so forth. So they need to show people which mask actually is for COVID. There's two kinds that are for, you know, the COVID and so forth. Some saying wear a bandana. It's going to just cover you from catching a cold.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they need to be a little bit more informative with that. As far as with when the city is going to open, that's really up to governors, because I've seen like three cities are opening and they were showing a beauty salon. So I'm thinking these dryers are not even 6 feet. You're just going to be sitting there, being that they said this is surface-to-skin contact, but yet you have a mask. So I'm concerned about sitting under the dryer, and I'm right next to the person. You know what I mean? So it's not realistic even when they open. So what's the solution to this? They still don't have one.
Well, like
so to open or not to open isn't going to matter.
I'm like, well, that's the question everybody's asking, and, you know, everybody, the governors want to make the right call when to open. Some governors, they're probably desperate and don't care to want to open up, but to your point, I told Sean last week, I know Sean needs a haircut badly. I need a haircut badly, but Sean's way more need a haircut, but imagine going to the barber, and the barber trying to get a haircut and sneeze. What do you do? Do you run up and run for your life? You know, that paranoia will kick in because you don't know what the barber has. Same thing as a customer. It's like, I just can't imagine someone wearing a mask and gloves giving me a haircut. It's not something I'm not used to, but I have to get used to that to protect him and protect myself at the same time. Sean?
And how many barbers have you seen when you would go to get your haircut are talking on the phone? They're talking to the other barbers. They're having the conversation with the person in the chair. What are you going to have, somebody stationed with one of those thermometers before they come into the building? Are you going to check to make sure that the germs aren't on the doorknob? When you open up and close the door, did somebody that's not wearing a mask sneeze and then you opening the door bring the coronavirus into the air? There was a story that was on, I believe it was on a National Geographic, and they were talking about how in the areas that have the worst pollution also have a higher concentration of COVID-19 infections because they believe that the virus is also getting into the pollution. Places that have silos, that have power plants, smelting factories, those kinds of places where the pollution is thick. As you can recall, China was where a lot of the virus was ravaged because in a lot of places in China, the pollution was terrible. So that is a factor as well as certain areas. And if you look at the places that have high concentrations, there's pollution in a lot of those areas also. But still, if there is no national testing plan on the docket nationally, how are you going to then say, we're going to open up casinos like the idiotic mayor of Las Vegas, Nevada, wants to open up casinos? And then it showed how ignorant she was by having the interview that she had on the news and then saying, well, I don't know the answer as to how the people that are opening up these casinos can stay away from each other for 6 feet, but I don't own a casino, so I don't know. But the whole point being is, and we've all been to casinos at various points, you know that no one is going to stay 6 feet away from each other in a dank area where people may be smoking cigarettes. People are going to have now masks. You have waitresses that bring drinks to the patrons that are there. People playing dice or craps or whatever, their hands are going to be all over the equipment. They're going to be bending over betting tables, putting their hands on slot machines. How do you regulate that and make sure that you don't basically have a casino that's nothing more than a petri dish? These are the kinds of things that they have to answer and have a clue on and a plan before you start doing any of this stuff. And this is what I was talking about as far as the lack of leadership, because the fish, when you talk about the head, it rots from the head down. That is what's going on right now. It's insane.
Well, before I go to K-Dog, I want to say this to you, Sean Black, about the slot machines and all everything else. How was there's like 1,000 million slot machines in the casino? How will you be able to keep each one clean after each person use a slot machine?
It's impossible.
And
even more so, not even just with just touching the machines. Also, most people that have been to a casino recently, everybody has these like club cards, you know, where you put your cards in, and instead of the machine spitting your money out, they put the balance of what you have on like a small ticket, and then they give you credits on the card that you can use later on at the resort to get a meal or get something, a sandwich or something to drink or go to the gift shop, something like that. So the constant taking the card out of the machine and putting it in your pocket, taking it out, putting it around your neck if you have a lanyard and all of that other stuff. How do you legitimately say that you know what you're doing when you don't have that as an option because there's no real testing around? It's ridiculous. We've got 300 million people.
And then don't forget the coronavirus on like stainless steel and things like that is going to last 2 to 3 days. So
exactly.
Cleaning it and it's still on there. So I don't know.
Exactly.
It's weird.
Okay. And basically that's my question overall. But K-Dog, anything you'd like to add on?
First off, I just want to say good evening to everybody. And
good evening.
We've seen, from what I've seen in the past month, especially from the White House, is that
I've seen some poor leadership, and I've seen many of the states who are more interested in making money rather than the safety of the people, you know. And in these past few weeks, I've seen that, and a lot of these people out there that are protesting. I mean, open the government, yeah, but open businesses to what? And you know, people are more interested. People, yes, you have people out there that are fearful, but also you have to also remember the safety of the people out there. You know, people, all the people got to do is just think and be safe.
True.
No, that's what we got to be doing.
We could think and be safe all we want, but facts of the matter is it looks good for now due to the fact that people are indoors. At the minute that everybody comes out, picture how it was before. Can you picture walking through Central Park and you're your 60? I've seen people even, you know, they still walk,
exactly,
of course, by the bridge, and they're not even, you know what I mean? It's not real. They've got to come up with something a little bit different. Whether we're wearing our mask and things like that, I get it, but what about touching? You know, something also that I read, you're wearing your gloves in the supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
You're touching the food and things like that. Just to pick up
right.
and say,
mm-hmm.
eggs, guess what? Those gloves are dirty. There's people that already touched their face with the gloves.
Thank
you.
Picked
up the eggs. You put the eggs back. No, I don't want that one. Okay, your germs is on that.
Yeah.
Her germs is on that. Even the gloves, to me, I don't think is realistic. And people walk around with it, and they're going to every single store when that's why they call disposable gloves. Use it for the store that you're in.
Throw them out.
Use some more. Throw them out. So I don't
thank
know.
Thank you. Even no, but you're right because you just said, Lady T, that's another thing that's pissing me off about what's been going on. As you were talking about the gloves, people are taking the gloves off and just dumping them in the damn street.
Exactly. I've seen,
and
I
that's another thing. We're back to littering again. Remember back in the days when it was so cool to just litter, litter, litter? It's like we're back to littering again. What's up with that?
Okay. That's the problem because a lot of people, you have to wonder what the hell are they thinking. I mean, listen, if they're, like Lady T said about disposable gloves, if you touch one thing with it, take it off, carry some extra gloves with you. That would be the perfect solution. But not everybody's thinking about that. They're like, oh, well, I'm wearing gloves. And, of course, I'm going to talk about public transportation. That's a problem, too. Because
You talk about public transportation in New York City, folks, is a major problem.
Yeah, New York City, in New York City. Now, here's the problem with that. Okay, so you're wearing gloves, and the problem now that we have on public transportation is the homeless situation. The homeless situation has been way up. I mean, there are some cars you can't even go in there because two or three homeless people occupy that whole car.
Has it been way up, or is it just because we're not around and now we're seeing them more?
I think we're seeing them more. I think we're seeing them more
now. Yeah,
we're seeing them more now because it's empty.
Yeah, it's empty.
Yeah.
And even on some streets you can't even walk on in New York City because it's like invaded because there's less people. And of course, something else that I wanted to bring up too. There's been a rash of crimes going on that the news is not reporting about.
Yes.
Robberies, people getting robbed all over the place. It's serious out there. It's serious.
To Kato's point, and I know I was wrong from laughing at this news report from Brooklyn, but they're saying that a man got robbed by two guys. The cops asked to help to identify, but there's only one problem with that. Sean, what do you think that problem was?
Maybe the fact that he has a mask on his face.
Exactly. And that's why I was laughing. Like, why are you asking people to identify two people, robbing one guy, if they're both wearing masks? Well, it's not just a lot of people wearing masks now, so you can't identify who's what.
And they know. And you know what it is? It's like you have to be very careful when you're walking out there. It's serious.
Yes. But two ladies. Atlanta was one of the first few states to open up what's called our controversy, of course. And it seems to be okay so far. But they opened up bars, open barbershops, tattoo parlor and hair salon. Of course, like I told Sean earlier, someone always has to say the controversy about me. Do you think part of the reason why they decide to open barbershop, nail salon, tattoo shop were to target black people in general, especially in Atlanta? Because a lot of people tend to shop in those areas?
Not at all. I could tell you exactly why. If you ever been out there to the Midwest and down south, a lot of people own their businesses and so forth. Atlanta is known for that already, you know, being publicized as that, as far as it's like a mini New York or a Midwest New York, whatever you want to call it. So I'm not surprised that somewhere like that is where, you know, they open. Oh, I can't hear you. Where they open, you know, first. So I'm not surprised. It's about business, no different than if they were to open New York City tomorrow. It's about business. Right now, I think they're concerned more about the economy recovering and the stock market recovering than the actual people. It's unfortunate to say it like that. So,
yeah, and the stock market will recover. The thing is, most people say, well, the stock market is still in the 20s, over the high 20,000s, and it's recovered, and it's, you know, after having the dips, et cetera, et cetera. You got to remember, the people that take advantage of what's going on in the stock market are the ones that are investing, the ones that have the money that can go in and actually take that advantage of putting money in and trading and going through banks and going to that kind of stuff. The ones that are now feeling the crush of everything else is in minority communities, the ones that don't have the funding, the ones that are getting shafted from the stimulus check stuff and the lack of being able to get loans, small businesses feeling the crush because they feel the need to open up, but yet at the same time they can't. And then what makes it worse is that when you open these businesses up in areas where you don't feel that you can, and especially you're talking about people that are looked at as essential workers, where we're talking about people that work at supermarkets, people that are doing those kinds of jobs. The ones that are doing those, the majority of those workers are either African-American or Hispanic. Hispanic people, the COVID-19 infection rate has actually gone up exponentially in the Hispanic community. Because of part of that is the neighborhoods, the areas that are hardest hit, where you see the minorities in those neighborhoods already have underlying health conditions, not the greatest of health, and then they don't give a lot of programs to help them out going forward. And then those people that are infected, those are the ones that have jobs where they can't take off in a lot of instances. So they end up going to their jobs and work, and then further spreading the infection or running the risk of getting sick and bringing that home. And that's something that is disproportionate to the rest of the country, and that's something that's going to further exacerbate this whole thing.
Yes, it is.
And to your point, Sean Black, that's the problem, is people have to work regardless. So open up businesses right now. Is the right call to make, or they really need to take a little step at a time? And once again, Sean Black, do you see yourself going to a restaurant right now, your favorite restaurant, to eat your truly fruity pancakes?
No, and I won't.
Thank you.
And I do not want to run the risk of getting sick and bringing that home. That's the number one issue. Like I said, when my grandmother was alive, my main thing was, while I was taking care of my grandmother, was making sure that if I got sick, I didn't, whatever it was, the flu or whatever situation that's out there, is not bringing it to get her sick. And I think most people, if they think in that mindset that I don't want to get my loved one sick, because what I've been hearing from a lot of people who have recovered from COVID-19, and there are over 870,000 people, they know we've been hearing about doom and gloom in the United States and worldwide. At least 800,000 people have recovered from this. They have survivor's remorse in the fact that they feel that, wow, how is it that I'm alive and other people aren't? I don't want to get anyone else sick. I've survived it, but maybe somebody else in my family has passed because of it. I have a friend of mine who lost his aunt to coronavirus just this week. just this past week, I should say. So it is there, and it is pervasive, and it's one of those things that you have to think about, especially in places that are going to be hit hard the most. And what we've been hearing, the pockets that have been happening, a lot of them are in nursing homes, in convalescence houses and clinics, those kinds of places. And that's really sad and unfortunate.
You know, it kind of leaves like a lingering, it leaves like a lingering fear with this coronavirus, because we don't even know if it could come back around next year like the flu. We don't even know if the vaccine will work. We don't know the consequences of the vaccine. We just don't know. So seeing so many people die, and I know, like, for me, I know two people that passed from it, and one that had a complication from it. So it's like knowing all of this, and you see, and I know one that's surviving right now. It's like, just saying this is like too much. But even with the person that's surviving, their struggle day to day to day to day, and their hopefulness and trying not to give up, to the point where their daughter would need to speak to them on the phone for hours at a time to keep them positive, like, you can fight through this. Like, the fight is very strenuous on the mind, the body, and the spirit. So even after they recover, you're still going to have to go through a whole nother process of recovery, no different than what cancer patients would need to do, being that this is something that attacks, you know, the immune system or an organ and so forth. So it's really, really, to me, you're going to be in recovery for a long time, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. It's gonna take a while to recover. And I don't expect it to say like 1 year after or something. It's going to take more than that. Especially,
and that
mentally,
was to your point, the last show that we did, when you brought up the mental anguish and the mental instability that can happen when we're talking about the mental health of people that go through it, whether they survive or family members that survive, because as I said, there is a real, like, a PTSD involved with either worrying about getting it, actually having it, someone passing away from it, or surviving and wondering what happens next. So there's a lot of layers of health to deal with. And then you got another layer that you got to think about is, who's going to pay for all of this stuff? And with the president trying to knock out Obamacare and all of the other health care that is needed, you remember we talked about this a couple weeks ago, where as the ramping up of people losing their jobs and losing their health care, because a lot of people have their health care attached to their employment.
Exactly.
That they tried to sign up for Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act, they couldn't do it because the premiums were now being withheld, so that a lot of people weren't able to get on the website and actually apply. So this is going to also be the potential back-breaking issue that goes toward Lady T's point of the mental anguish and the mental part of this whole thing, of how you're going to deal with it going forward when you don't even know if you're going to have the health insurance to pay for a COVID-19 hospitalization and recovery.
Yeah.
And,
question for all you guys, real quick, Hot Rod, with the mental part that Sean Black just said. To all of y'all, even if you don't have COVID, is like when you wake up every day and you're going out there and you're being cautious, there's people that actually physically are in a panic. Oh, my gosh, I might get it, despite whatever, you know, they're covering and so forth. Mm-hmm. So you're also dealing with that even when you don't have it on a day-to-day basis. I've seen somebody yell at them, you're not 6 feet. And I'm thinking, damn, it's a big enough space. They're not even breathing your breath. Relax. And those, you know, there's going to be people with attitudes, curse you out, smack you, whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
People's psyche has, you know, you see all of this happening. I mean, one of the things that a lot of people, and I was talking to my brother about this earlier, and he said that, you know, them watching the news, and all they hear is this amount of people are dying, this amount of people have it, and how you can get it. If you're, you know, in a space where there's a lot of people, that causes someone to immediately, like, their mindset, and the first thing they could think about is they're panicking, they're out of their minds, because they're afraid to step outside. If they step outside, they're afraid of, you know, being near anybody. Or let's just say they're in a store. Like one time I saw something like that happen in a store, like somebody got cursed out in the market because apparently I think the person walked up to the person asking a question, said, "Why the hell are you all up in my face for it?" And it got ugly. Things got real ugly, and people can get ugly in the face of panic.
Because
you know,
people are paranoid. People are scared.
No, people are not educated on it either, because it's like you know, they explained it. It's, you know, surface to skin. I've seen a lot of immune deficient patients that had to deal with that even before this, so they know the precautions and they're familiar with the you know, the precautions of it and so forth. But it's the fear to me also of not knowing and not understanding it, because people just think, oh, I'm going to put this mask on, and they have this dirty mask on for days at a time. Your mask carries more germs than you could have caught within the last 2 to 3 days.
There's
so
something called
it's disposable for a reason. I'm just saying. But all right,
well,
if you want to do it like that, you know. So I don't know.
But there are masks
that you can buy or that you can make that are reusable and rewashable. But as you just stated before, for most people that don't realize, the coronavirus is a virus covered in fat. And the reason why it's like all viruses, that's how they stick onto surfaces. That's the main reason why it's so important to wash with soap for the amount of time,
exactly,
because that breaks that fat layer that it attaches to. And you use that and you use it agitated, and it's the same thing if it gets onto one of the, like a not a disposable mask, but something that you can either buy or make and use on your own. And then you can just wash that, throw that in the washing machine, and the soap will break it down and pretty much
just hand wash it as soon as you come in, hang dry it, whatever. I don't know.
True.
But, yes, you can.
But Lady T,
not everyone does it.
About the panic and anxiety now. I already confessed to you, I did have anxiety for a while, but you know, I didn't know, because this was new. Until I started to know, I prepare myself the best way I can. If I catch it, I catch it. I always tell people that. But like I told Sean a few weeks ago, I was in a restaurant because I'm a first aid responder. I took first aid classes. I was in the restaurant, and this lady happened to pass out in front of me. You know, just before the coronavirus thing happened. You know, I took her, me and this guy took her to the side. I check her pulse. We call 911. You know, people was yelling at me, give her water, give her this. And I told them, I'm not allowed to give anything, but someone passed out, you can't give water. Now, like I told Sean Black, if someone passed out in front of you or in front of people, they're going to walk away or turn around.
They're not going to help you.
Because they're like, oh, that person got the corona. You know? It's like, is that sad if they come to that part now that when you do need help, people don't want to help you? Or people are afraid to touch you at all because they don't want to catch the corona?
It's so heartbreaking, the mental ignorance behind all of this when I'm just listening to what you're saying. It's like, oh boy, it's really hard. But my concern, like I said, is like the people that are recovering from this. I don't want to say mental illness. I consider it like mental stability right now, because even some of us right now may not be mentally stable as far as understanding what is going on with this corona. So it's sort of like a panic or fear. I'm tired of watching the news. I haven't watched it in so long. I'll get snippets. That's why I caught like the Lysol whenever, you know, Trump said that about Lysol or Clorox or whatever. And I was just like, when I heard that, I was like, oh, okay, I get the point. Like, you kind of get the point. I'm getting drained because I'm talking about the same thing, because first they come up with how many deaths. I'm like, this is so depressing to start. You know, so it's like hearing all of this and people watching the news and watching the news daily, those people to me I'm more concerned about than the people who are not watching the news and trying to take it one day at a time, being precautious and so forth. So to me it's about, you know, precautions.
To Lady T, remember, as a post I sent earlier about mental breakdown, what about that doctor who committed suicide? Because she couldn't take it anymore.
She saw so many people die in front of her.
You know what that reminds me of? I was talking to one of my friends that, you know, he used to be in the Army. and he suffers post-traumatic stress, I think PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the case is, we're in a medical warfare too. We have to remember that these people are on the front line. I have friends that are seeing things daily, and they're also they started off as an RN, but they're also picking up in different departments. So it becomes overwhelming. And you have to remember, when something becomes overwhelming and repetitive, it can break you down. You have to withstand it mentally, day to day to day. It's a friggin' challenge, like you're at war. But how much can the body take? Yeah, it is. But I'm saying for these people that's on the front line, how much can their bodies actually take doing 13-hour shifts? They're back again.
Okay.
It is physically draining. We don't know what she had to deal with when she goes home. We don't know her whole backstory.
Yeah.
She's no longer here to tell us. You get my point?
Yes.
So these things are of concern. I think they really need to focus on getting these people mental health, whether it's like an hour at a time while they're in the hospitals and so forth. But they need to really, really help them. Really, really help them, because they need the help with it.
There was one story that I saw. One story that I saw of a doctor who has he's married and has three kids, and he is a first responder going back and forth to the hospital, et cetera. Instead of was he doing 16-hour shifts and going back and forth? Instead of staying in his house, he's actually living in his kids' treehouse, literally in the backyard of their home, because he doesn't want to bring the potential risk of coronavirus into the house. So this is one of those things.
It's taking its toll mentally.
Happens. Oh, yeah, definitely taking a mental
It's
toll.
Taking its toll mentally because a lot of people out there, we don't see, you know, for those of us who don't understand what people are going through, especially, you know, it's even having an impact on the younger people that, you know, they feel that all of this is so overwhelming that they don't even want to watch the news. And can you blame them? No. You know, you're seeing all of this, and yet, again, this is where the fear comes in. People are crippled with fear.
Well, you guys talk about fear and everything. Let's bring up to my last topic of the night. I text Sean the Saturday while my family and I was driving, and we all talk about social distance and everything. It was a nice day in New York City. The park was packed. People were playing basketball. I texted Sean, isn't there a virus going on? And then we heard about the story in Chicago. I'd like to know what type of house this was to hold a party for about 1,000 people.
That's crazy.
but overall, you guys are talking about fear and everything. But there's people out there who don't fear this thing or don't care, especially, I'd like to say, the young people or the people in general. How can we fight this virus if damn you stay home or damn you don't stay home? You know, you go outside to the playground, or you see your other friends, you know, hang out. So there's no social distance at all, no 6 feet away. Go ahead, K-Dog.
Well, Hot Rod, there was something else too that happened last weekend in Brooklyn, where I think a barbershop where 50 people gathered inside of a barbershop. I think they said that they were filming a rap video, but it turned into a party in which people, of course, the police were called and they busted everybody. And it's not the first thing that we've heard about with this lack of understanding that people are like, oh, I got to go out and party. Or what am I supposed to stay home? You think I'm supposed to stay home? Please, man, I got to live my life. I mean, it's just crazy out there. Like,
that's
I was
true.
Saying,
it's really
point,
heartbreaking,
yeah,
but so you put both you guys' points with these functions and things. When it goes back to the norm or what's considered the new norm, you guys have to realize it's going to be people playing in the park and things. You're just going to need to have to bring your wipes and so forth. You're going to have to stay at a certain distance. You might have to wear your mask. I noticed for a fact from dealing with a person who had immune deficiency and so forth, where they were susceptible to catching something as far as like the flu or a cold. So you're still going to need to take a certain amount of precautions. It is not realistic on the face of this earth for us not to be able to go and walk in the park. You're going to have to take precautions until they get this under control. But when we're talking about the Chicago party and things like that, that's just people that want to be stupid and seek attention right now that really don't care or want to put themselves at risk and don't realize how, you know, bad this is. So
So to your point, AT, about the Canarsie one, of course you're not to bring this part up, how you see the black people being detained by police. Tickets were given out. A couple of people were arrested for misconduct. But as always, you have the Orthodox Jews have their gathering of 1,000, 2,000 people. And
oh,
not
yes.
much happening. And, of course, you know, they fight with the cops and everything. And we all know the real reason why, but I just want to hear it from you guys' mouth again. Why does this stuff keep happening? When the Orthodox Jews get away with their gathering, while you see 60 black people being detained by the cops. Luckily, no one got shot, surprisingly. Sean, I know you have a lot to say. Go ahead.
It's the perceived importance of what the gathering is. In the Jewish community, especially when it comes to funerals, like we heard, I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago in Bensonhurst, there was a funeral. I think it was a funeral where there were, I believe, 500 or 600 Orthodox Jews that were gathering for, I believe it was a ceremony for a funeral. And the mindset, I believe, this is just a mindset involved, I think is the importance of the perceived importance of what that particular gathering is. A funeral over a house party. Let's basically call it what it is. It was nothing more, as far as that Chicago, was nothing more than a giant house party. Because the video that I saw was people, I think it was from the staircase, and people were sipping whatever and dancing and having a good time, and they weren't thinking about it.
Yeah.
But in either scenario, the problem is here. Whether it's a religious setting or it's a gathering business, a business gathering, or if it's a party or whatever is the case, there seems to be a lack of urgency and a priority to make sure that this does not spread, regardless of what community this is. When we see all of the ills of what goes on, when we talked about weeks and weeks ago when we were trying to compare this eventually, well, this is like the flu. No, this is deadlier than the flu. And to put it into perspective, all of last year, 61,500 people died of the flu last year. We're almost at 60,000, and we're almost not even at the end of April yet. Just to keep that into perspective.
Exactly.
So when we don't know exactly how contagious this is, and we look at the idiosyncrasies of what people are saying, and we hear the ignorant politicians that are opening up places when they shouldn't be, when there is a lack of testing, when we have a lack of leadership involved and a lack of a plan nationally to do certain things, you have the things that we just talked about, the PTSD that Lady T talked about and all of the mental anguish that people are going to go through, the stress involved, the angst involved, and then on top of that, you've got the monetary issues of who's going to pay for the health care, the funerals. And can you imagine living in an apartment across from Elmhurst Hospital in Queens, and all you see are trucks and trucks of people in body bags sitting in refrigerated trucks?
Man, that's traumatic.
That's something awful.
Lady T, go ahead, Lady T. Anything like to add on?
Yeah, for everybody, just everything you just said, you have to remember that these are all requirements that we're under. We're required to stay 6 feet. Nothing is written in law yet. That's why people feel like, I could do this, I can do that. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There's people who care about their lives and value others' lives as well that will take the proper precautions, but you will have those people doing this and that. And one thing I notice about certain communities, and I don't want to say Jewish because I've been in a community where it's all different religions, their religion will come first and so forth. But you also have to remember they're knowledgeable on the law where possibly not, and don't realize that even though in Canarsie with that, they had to have a ticket to even do that video shoot. I'm sure they did have it. but maybe the cops felt like, okay, you guys are not 6 feet away or whatever the case is.
Yeah.
They can go to court. That crap can get turned over by the time the court's open. So people need to just understand also what the laws are and that this is not anything written solid. This is what the government is suggesting for us to do right now so that we could slow this thing down. So if you do care about slowing it down, you will take these proper precautions because it's also your life, other people's lives, and we want to hurry up and get rid of this.
Oh, so we can all go back to normal. And
whatever normal will be after this, yeah.
True. And I have to say this before we go. I talked to my boss about this the other day. I'm like, because, you know, there's nobody in the office really, in my office right now. And I told her, we have a staff of about 60, 70 crazy people that drive me nuts. And I told him, like, you know, when people coming back to the offices, we're going to be in big trouble. She's like, what do you mean? Everybody wants to have their own office desk, wipes, hand sanitizers, disinfect, like every 5 minutes because of paranoia. People will be asking us for masks and everything that we need to supply and demand. Can we come up with that? She told me, Rodney, shut up and go home.
Wow. Oh my goodness. We've been telling you that for years, and you still don't listen to any of us, so.
No, because. But I'm being truthful with her, and she asked, like, I know what you mean. I could see that coming because we know how our staff are, and because people could be paranoid, like Lady T said. You'll be coming to your desk and wiping out every 2 minutes. Like, I have my coworker who had the COVID, mild symptoms, and she came back. She did a guideline. She did a stay at home. Came back, and it's like she went to jail, and she committed murder. You know?
Yeah, yeah. People are scared when you come back.
Oh, yeah,
it doesn't matter how clean you are.
Oh, yeah.
It's really sad.
You know, she texted me today, and like, I can't believe this so-and-so just gave me the look like, get away from me. You know? Like, I did something wrong with her. I'm like, I told her that's something to get used to, but I thought you should have known.
Goes back to the level of ignorance and not educating yourself. Listen, that COVID already fell off of her system. It's out of her system. Guys, relax. It's done. So,
and this is the scarring weather that you're going to have to live with if you
it's really sad. I would be more concerned.
Thing.
Yeah, I would be more concerned about somebody in her household if she passed it, you know, off to them and so forth. That's how it works. But as long as nobody in her household caught it, that's done. It's out of her system. She's finished with that.
Yeah, but this mind boggling is like, this will be ongoing. Once I know Sean have it, you know what, Sean, don't come near to me ever again. It's been like 2 months already.
It's like everybody's, like I said, everybody's panic mode now. It's panic mode.
Even with all of this craziness that's been going on, let's also not lose focus on the fact that there are people that have survived it. There are people that are surviving it. And
yes,
do not make everything as doom and gloom as we've seen the media and the news, which is important that it's happened.
Yeah, of course.
But
it's important information.
There
are
people that go
that are surviving.
Have survived it. We see people that are at home making videos showing you what they're doing to pass the time and all of the things that you should be able to do. And the one thing that I will pass along to everybody else is if you're with your family, as long as you haven't killed anyone and you can tolerate each other, enjoy the time that you spend with your family because the sad part is this is probably the most time that they spent with their family members in a long time.
Sean Black, have you heard my kids lately over the phone? Duh.
Yeah, I've heard them.
Yes.
I've heard them.
And I don't envy you at all.
Okay. Besides that, well, one positive note as well before we go, the planet is a lot cleaner and healthy.
Yes, it is.
Overall.
The environment's much cleaner.
You know,
less
human.
You guys really think so? With us having less sun and things like that, it hasn't been a shiny day since what day was that? Sunday or Saturday was the first full-blown day. So you guys really think that, I don't know. I've been monitoring that. It's very gloomy. It's very,
overall
very gloomy.
In the world, pollution in the United States has gone down by 20%. In China... And in Asia, pollution has gone down by as much as 32%. So the fact that nobody has been outside doing anything,
it's because we're inside.
No cars.
Yeah.
That's what's been happening.
Yeah.
That's what's been happening, exactly.
Well, you know what? Lady T, K-Dog, Sean Black, good health, good luck. But remember, I'm still the King of Kings. Always love you to the end. And thank you so much We will do the show again next month. I don't know when, but stay tuned and tune in to Tuesday night to Brother B, the Big Red on the menu. Guys, good night. Godspeed. And as always,
a pleasure
was all mine. Be safe.
Peace and love to all.
Be safe. Good night.